Welcome to Wards of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
We're so thankful that you've tuned in to Words of Grace today. It's our privilege to have you in the listening audience. We very much appreciate you, and we're so excited anytime someone in our audience writes in to let us know that they've been listening. Radio is a one-way form of communication, and we really don't have any idea as to how many people tune into Words of Grace without your writing to let us know. There are several ways that you can get in contact with us, and most of these are available at our church website, which is found at flintriverpbc.org. You could send us a letter the old-fashioned way, or you could follow us on social media and leave a comment, maybe on our Facebook page, or send us a message by way of Facebook or even an email. Whatever way you choose to utilize to contact us, just understand that we're thankful that you are there. We're so glad you're a part of our Words of Grace family, and we pray that God continues to bless you.
For me,
for such a word, man.
Over the next 2 weeks on Words of Grace, I want to play a message that I delivered last week at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church entitled This Present Evil World. Of course, that phrase, present evil world, comes from the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. As I say in my introduction to this message, what put this thought of the present evil world in mind was the overwhelming number of calamities that we see at any given time in the world. Most recently, we saw some torrential flooding in Texas that took the lives of many little children at a Christian camp, tragically. And it seems like any time we turn on the television, there are wars and natural disasters and crime and violence. It is really just a terrible place to be sometimes, this planet, this life experience. So much so that really the best we can hope for in our lives is a mixture of joy and sorrows that has enough joy to at least overcome the sorrows. Well, this led me to speak on the fact that Christ, because he died for our sins, has delivered us from this present evil world. We're looking forward to being with him in glory in a place that can't be tarnished with the terrible things that we experience here, either our own sinfulness or the destruction that has come into the world because of our sin. The portion of the message that we play for you today is going to focus on the fact that from Isaiah 57:1, the righteous perish and none lay it to heart, not realizing, not considering that they're spared from the evil to come. And at the same time, we consider the fact that God's people often suffer in this world from Psalm 73, whereas the wicked, they accumulate power and wealth. They don't experience the same problems that we experience in life because we are in this present evil world. We hope to conclude this message on next week's broadcast with a consideration of Galatians 1:4 and the deliverance that we have in Christ from this world into one where is no sorrow, pain, nor death. Here is part one of This Present Evil World. We'll begin this morning in the book of Galatians chapter 1, and the verse that I want to consider in specific is verse 4. And I'll tell you, as we introduce that passage to you, as returning to that passage, that what has placed this particular verse in my mind is one statement that you read in verse 4. We read in Galatians 1:4 that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. What placed that sentence, that statement in my mind was really the recent tragedy that we saw in Texas a week and a half ago of the flash floods that just suddenly swept through and because of torrential rain and killed a bunch of people. But of those who were the victims of that flood, any victim of a flood is a tragic thing. But of those victims, many of them were little kids, girls, just at a Christian youth camp, the sort of thing that, you know, you could imagine your kid going and doing. You could imagine your child being there, and all of a sudden just a flood comes and takes them away. And as I saw that on the news, and I kept seeing it on social media, and they would announce maybe one person has been discovered and rescued, and those moments would be moments that you'd praise God. Much more commonly in the news was the reporting of another person that they had found deceased. And a lot of people on social media are scoffing. And I use the word are as a present tense word because they're still scoffing. And people would say things like, well, where was Jesus at that camp when the flood came and took those little kids away? Where is your God, in other words? And there's actually a psalm that says as much, that the scoffers say, where is thy God? Where is thy God, the scoffers say? It would be a good one to meditate on and reflect on as you see the scoffing of the enemy of Christ Just yesterday, I saw a news story where a Christian group sent boxes of food and water and items, and because they included a Bible in each box, the Bible made the headlines, and this was an NBC affiliate from Chicago. I clicked on the comments because the number one reaction on Facebook was the laughing reaction, and I thought, why laugh at a church sending a care package that includes a Bible? But in the comment section, it was just one unbeliever after another spewing venom at this church for doing nothing to help. Now, I'd like to go and take a survey of every one of those people and see what they have specifically done to help people at any time in their life, let alone in this tragedy. Because 90% of the time, the people who were doing that, they've not helped anybody. They're the scoffer. They're the mocker. They're just making fun of Christians. And it's not really, it has nothing to do with the flood. It has nothing to do with the boxes. It has everything to do with the fact that our society is given over to a reprobate mind. And people love to scoff at the Lord, and they love to scoff at God's people. I left a comment on there. I said, you can see miserable people scoffing in their depravity at what this church has done in the comment section. But that's really what it is. It's miserable depravity, people who are so unhappy that to make themselves feel better, they put down a church for sending a care package because it had a Bible in it. It was just a sad thing to see. And the amount of venom that someone can spew and mock the families and mock the Lord and mock those who help, it really does paint a picture about, well, as we read for you in Galatians 1:4, what type of world? This present evil world. This present evil world. Louis Armstrong popularized a song, What a Wonderful World. That song is one of my favorites to listen to. When it comes on the radio, I crank it up and I sing it. It was the song that my brother and his wife walked down the aisle to at their wedding. They had it performed on a guitar and an acoustic guitar at that, and it was very beautiful, and it was a wonderful scene. It was a great ceremony, hard to believe, nearly 20 years ago. But we think to ourselves, what a wonderful world. The world can be a wonderful place, but the world can also be a terrible place. And when Scripture talks about it, it calls it this present evil world. Now, I want to say something about the sort of situation that we saw this past week, because if anybody watches and they wonder, where is Jesus in the middle of all of those calamities, let me just tell you that Jesus is there rescuing His children from the consequences of Adam's transgression. Where's Jesus when little kids are suddenly taken away in a flood and lose their life? Jesus is there rescuing those little kids. Jesus is there delivering their souls. Jesus is sending angels to escort these beloved children into His presence. And now every single one of those little babies, every single one of those little babies is in the direct presence of Jesus in glory before the throne of God. We would not bring them back from where they are if we could. You know, we have a constitutional right against cruel and unusual punishment. That would be the cruelest of punishments imaginable, to be taken from the presence of God with all the bliss that you experience there in God Himself and be brought back into this world where there are heartaches and disappointments and difficulties and struggles, but also enemies. I was made to think of Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 1. Isaiah 57 and verse 1 says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness." That passage has been a beloved one to me when I see the untimely death of someone that I know that the Lord Jesus has redeemed. The righteous perish. No man lays it to heart. when little kids get carried away in a flood at a Christian camp, people insult God and the families and the camp. No wicked man understands, and so many times we don't even perceive that to be taken away in an untimely manner in death, you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Though you're accounted as a sheep for the slaughter, we perish all the day long, as Romans says, and yet nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, life, death, the devil, his minions, any creature, nothing can take us from Christ. And so the righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Now that could have reference to judgment. It could have reference to further calamity in their lives. It could have reference to anything that is bad. The word evil in the Old Testament carried two definitions. It could have reference to sin, but evil was a more encompassing term that actually had reference to anything negative. And so any calamity, any bad thing is an evil in the world. If you see a car accident, that car accident was a calamity. That calamity was an evil. Well, it could be taken from calamity. It could be taken from sinful things. It could be taken from the results of someone else's sin. In the Old Testament, all sin is evil, but not all evil is sin. When the earth shakes, when there are fires, when there are floods, when there are wars, all of that is a calamity. And so the Old Testament definition of evil is just that, calamity. Conversely, the wicked in this world, they live long, powerful lives, and it's something that the psalmist Asaph laments. Psalm 73 says, "Truly God is good to Israel," amen, "even to such as are of a clean heart." God is good to you who has a clean heart. God is good to me. I was thinking about all the blessings that I've had in the last several years, especially in my home and in my family, and I was just overcome with emotion thinking about the blessings that we've had, things that I never could have written if I pinned down a story for myself. God is good to us, but as for me, Asaph says, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped when I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. What's that alluding to? Wicked folks live long lives. Wicked folks, as you'll see later, accumulate power. Wicked folks accumulate wealth. And there are reasons for this. You are chastened because you're a child of God. At the same time, there are things that you probably want in your lust, and God says no because it wouldn't be good for you. God says no. He says no. There are things that we simply do not need. God knows that it would not be good for us, and so we don't have some of the things that come so easy for the wicked. Have you ever wondered why is life so much harder for people like us than maybe people who get political power or billionaire CEOs or all of these wealthy folks that you just watch their lifestyle and you know these people, they do not honor God. They do not honor Christ. Why do they have that when we don't? Because we belong to Christ. And if you think about it this way, God tells you no because you're His child. Now, there are times when your kids say, but Mom, so-and-so did it, but no, you're my kid. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. Parents know what I'm talking about. Kids are like, yeah, unfortunately, we do too. God says no. God, as your father, chastens you. That's a reality. That happens. But at the same time, does the devil afflict the devil's people? Do you think the devil afflicts his own? I find that a little hard to believe. Who would the devil afflict then? He afflicts God's people. So if the devil is the accuser of the brethren, the persecutor of the brethren, the leader of principalities and powers and spiritual darkness and rulers, he is coming at you, trying to destroy you. He goes about seeking whom he may devour, but he promotes his own. And so God's people, the righteous, perish and none lay it to heart. Asaph says here, the wicked are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? God's people sometimes see that and they think, Lord, if what we believe is real and you're there, why are we struggling when other people that don't honor you at all are doing so well? That's actually not a proof that God doesn't exist, but a proof that he does. That's a proof that God does exist, that good people suffer and bad people don't, because of the reasons that I've shared with you. You have an enemy that they don't have. You have an enemy that they don't have. Asaph goes on to talk about how he's been plagued all the day long and chastened every morning. Those are those sources of calamities I talked about. Chastened, that's a whooping. Plagued, that's where you're afflicted by this world or the wicked one. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. This just hurt to think about. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. I went to the sanctuary of God. What is the sanctuary of God, do you believe? It's got to be the house of God. I went to God's house and I learned, Asaph says, about the difference in the righteous and the wicked and God's chastening upon the righteous, the affliction of the devil against the righteous. Maybe he read the book of Job. Maybe he read some of these earlier recorded writings like the Torah, the Pentateuch, the book of Genesis, and he read about the lives of so many of these men who struggled and suffered in the world versus the wicked who have no struggles. And he says, I considered their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down in destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, shalt thou despise their image. Thus was my heart grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Asaph gets to this part of his song. Remember, this is a song that they would sing. And he remembers how God will suddenly come upon them and judge them, and they will be in terrors. I'm always a bit alarmed. If you study the reactions that some people have in dying, there are people that you have probably seen pass away that begin looking and speaking to people who you don't see. And some of them will talk about even Jesus. Now, you could say, well, that's just the brain firing and over-firing because they know the end of their days are near and they're probably hallucinating, but I don't believe that. I believe that the angels are there. And maybe the Lord is there and they're seeing heaven opened as Stephen did, as Stephen was being stoned to death in the book of Acts, and they see Christ as he is coming to get them. Some of the most ravenous enemies of God, when they passed away, their last words will terrify you because they begin to say, I have made a mistake. And they see things that you don't see that makes them absolutely shudder in terror. And that makes the hair on the back of our necks stand up collectively. Go research some of the last words of the most violent enemies of God in this world. Asaph says that they're consumed in terror in a moment, suddenly. And he remembers this. And he's pricked in his heart. That means that he is suddenly convicted for feeling envious at the prosperity of the wicked. And then he says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. Isn't that the hope of a child of God? You think that's only a New Testament concept, being led by God all through this life and received up into glory? Here Asaph is talking about it in Psalm 73. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I didn't intend but to mention Psalm 73, but I felt the Holy Spirit's leadership as I turned there, and I wanted to share that with you. In this present evil world, when terrible things happen, just understand, you've got a book that tells you why, and you've got a book that tells you the solution to that. You know the end of the story. Galatians 1:4. Let's read the verses leading up to that. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. You notice the word churches there is plural. Unlike the book of Philippians or Ephesians or the books to the Thessalonians, this is an address to a church body, but a region of churches. This would be like saying to the churches of North Alabama, to the churches of Central Alabama, the churches of West Texas, or the churches of South Florida. He's addressing an entire region of churches, and what makes that so alarming? If you're familiar with the book of Galatians, you know that Paul is addressing some terrible problems that they experience, namely a group of people who have come to be called the Judaizers, who were instructing some hybrid grace works, teaching some hybrid grace works gospel that was no gospel, teaching a Jesus that Paul did not teach, and they were leading God's people away from the gospel of grace, away from salvation completely 100% by grace, into a form of bondage. And so they were stealing the liberty of God's people. They were stealing the message of the gospel from God's people. It's not just one church that's experiencing this, but an entire region of churches. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Save us from this present evil world.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.